Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Spark.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them across the UK.
This story was told by Errol.
At our night at the Brixton Ritzy,
when the theme was journeys.
Thank you. Okay, I wouldn't say this is a happy story. And this story is mostly about a friend of mine. Carl, who went on an unexpected trip. And the reason I tell this story is because I was there to see him off and I almost went with him. So when I was younger, we're going back like 20 years now, I went to prison. I was innocent. I shouldn't have gone there. Actually, I'm lying. This is meant to be true stories, isn't it? I was guilty. I mean... So I've got to keep with the theme. You said true stories. I was guilty as hell, you know what I mean? So, that's why I met Carl, you know? So Carl was my cellmate, and we went to Her Majesty's Prison, Wandsworth. I describe it as staying with the Queen, but those who know, know, you know? So we were staying with the Queen, Her Majesty's Prison, Wandsworth, and when we got in there, the prisoners are washed with drugs. I had a conversation outside and we were told, listen, you don't have to tell weed stories, but I'm sorry, this is a kind of hash story, well, drug story. So, you know, there's lots of hash inside the place, you know. You could always get something for the head. You could always get a nightcap, you know. And the guys who were coming off drugs, they were given drugs to help them come off drugs, which... it kind of works, I suppose, you know what I mean? But these drugs that they used to get, they used to sell it on the wing to people who weren't coming off drugs, but they just wanted to get a bit dizzy so they could go to sleep, you know what I mean? So hash was the thing, you know? So, you know, I indulged, you know? So every night I used to want to make sure I get my two pieces of hash spliff, and they were tiny, you know. On the out, if that fell out on the, out of the end of a spliff, you wouldn't even bother picking it up, you know what I mean? But anyway, in there, you'd make three out of that little piece. Anyway, so I would get two a night, you know, and eventually you'd get into a bit of debt, you know, because it was like a half ounce of tobacco for one spliff, you know what I mean? And eventually, because you was only allowed to spend like £3.60 in there, so of course you got into debt where every week you'd just be giving your whole canteen to this dealer whose name was Diesel. Anyway, so the way that you'd survive is you'd get visits and you'd say to your loved ones, listen, come and visit me, you know what I mean? I really want you to visit, I miss you, but go and see Joe before you come, you know what I mean? You know, so... And, you know, there's ways of getting it in. So anyway, me and Carl, we was in debt. We was in debt up to the eyeballs. And the other thing is, Carl started to indulge in something else. He started to indulge in brown heroin. The reason he started to do that was he couldn't read, by the way. I used to read his letters to him. And one day he got a letter from his girlfriend who he was in there for beating up. You know what I mean? Well, he had a row with her. So that's what he was in there for. And she dumped him when he was in there. And he, one day, we couldn't get any hash, so he got some heroin, and he said, listen, I just want to take this to take the edge off Errol. And I said, no, don't do that, we're not doing brown. But anyway, he started to do it and he developed a habit. I'm getting to the crux of the story. So we was in debt, and we was in heavy debt because he was getting, you know what I mean, brown on tick, on credit. So he was getting a visit, And because he was getting a visit, everything was going to be safe. He promised me he was going to get some hash and he was going to get some of his brown to pay off the dealers. So he came in and I don't know if you know about Jerl and that, but there's a toilet there, you know what I mean? And I can go to the toilet in front of anybody nowadays because that's what you do, you know what I mean? The toilet was just there and you would just use the toilet. So he came in from his visit, he came rushing in, they locked the door for the night, you know what I mean? And he gets on the toilet and he does his thing and he comes out and then he's showing me something. And I stare in disbelief at this, like, tiny cling film wrap that my cellmate has just retrieved from his arsehole, basically. I was like, bruv, what's that? And he says, oh, yeah, it's just a bit of brown that my old girl brought up. His mum used to bring the gear up for him. His mum used to bring it. So, anyway, his mum never used to bring the heroin. She used to bring the hash. But this day, because she couldn't get any hash, she thought she won't come up empty-handed, so she got some heroin from his brother, who was a hardcore junkie. This is just how they lived, you know what I mean? Anyway, you probably don't know people like this. But anyway, so basically, so he come back, and he hasn't got what he's meant to have. He's just got this little cling film wrap. So I'm saying, bruv, what's that? Where's the things? We're in trouble, you know what I mean? He goes, bruv, yeah, the dealer didn't turn up to see my old girl, so that's all. I said, yo, you know we're in trouble now, you know what I mean? And a lot of that's in my name. He goes, bro, easy, man, take it easy. Because all he cares about is that he's going to hit this heroin. And I don't know if you know about junkies, but they don't give a fuck about anything else, you know what I mean? So the fact that we're going to get what they used to do is put two snooker balls in a sock, tight like that, and bust your head open for it. And they'll do that just for a little quarter ounce of tobacco, you know what I mean? Because if you got into debt and you wasn't paying it, you show respect. Anyway, let me get to the point of the story. We're getting to the journey, yeah? So anyway, he's looking for his bit of foil, you know what I mean? And I'd been teaching him to read, as I said, and we was on Catching the Rye, and I knew that the foil was in Catching the Rye. But I was pissed off, so I didn't tell him, you know what I mean? And I'm just watching him as he's tearing out everything because he's looking for his bit of foil. Because he didn't inject it. What he used to do was put it on some foil, put the lighter underneath it, put a straw or pen in his mouth, and they call it chase the dragon. So you burn it. Listen, I don't want none of you doing this. Anyway, you're thinking, yeah, do that bit again. So he burns it, the smoke goes into his mouth, you know what I mean, and you know what I mean, and he feels nice. I wouldn't touch it because I was not interested in that. I've always seen it's dirty, but I wanted a spliff, man, and I didn't get a spliff because he promised me we was going to get some hash, and we didn't have no hash, and I was pissed off. And he goes, oh, Errol, go on, you might as well. And I'm saying, no, I don't want that, but I'm looking at him. Come on then. So I slumped down on the bed next to him. Now remember, I've never touched this before, you know what I mean? But I'm in jail and I don't give a fuck and I'm pissed off because I can't get a spliff. Let's see what the fuss is about. So I show him where his bit of foil is. He finds it. He slumps down on the bed. I slump down next to him. He holds the thing. He puts the heroin in. He hits the lighter. He hits it and then he goes, and he grabs my leg like this and he goes, then boom. I get up. Carl, what the fuck's wrong with you? Carl, no response. I kick the door, I hit the bell. We've got an emergency bell, which means that they might come within the next 4 hours, you know what I mean? So I hit the fucking bell, I'm banging the door, I'm going, governor, because that's what you call the screws. They eventually come in about an hour's time, pump his heart, drag him away, took him to the hospital, and that was his journey, because on the way there, he died. And I went on my journey as well, because I couldn't stop crying, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know what I mean? I used to breathe in this guy's fumes. I used to smell his shit every day, you know what I mean? He was like a friend of mine, you know what I mean? And I couldn't stop crying. And because I couldn't stop crying, I had something like 6 months of my sentence left, and they let me out a week later. So that was the good thing about it, you know what I mean? Then I went to the funeral. Anyway, thanks for listening, and that's my journey. Sorry to get heavy.
That was Errol. Next up is Dara with another story of journeys.
Hello. Hi. My journey here, and I mean in my career and actually here on the stage in London, started with a pastry, but it was a very special miracle pastry. Many years ago, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. I was married, we had a flatmate, we were all wannabe actors and writers, and things weren't going very well, mostly because we were living in Nashville, Tennessee. But my husband at the time and the flatmate, Todd, they worked at a sort of hipster coffee shop, the Bongo Java. And one morning, one of the Bongo employees came in, first thing to open up, and he bought a cinnamon bun for breakfast. And so he's just about to bite into the cinnamon bun, and he thought, oh, it kind of looks like a mushroom. And then he turned it, or looks like Popeye. But at a different angle, it looks like Mother Teresa. So in his hand was the Mother Teresa cinnamon bun, which we then affectionately or confectionately started calling the nun bun. And we kept asking people, like, who do you think this looks like? And everybody unanimously said, it looks like Mother Teresa. I mean, there was no doubt. So we put it in the freezer until it kind of got hard enough to put some shellac on it. So it was preserved forever. The nun bun. So we kind of enjoyed this. Todd built a shrine to it. Put little fairy lights around it, and we displayed it at Bongo Java in the case next to the unground coffee. So we were kind of like enjoying having people come in and comment on the bun. And we decided, because, you know, we were actors and writers with nothing else to do, so we decided to make a documentary about it. So we did, and it was a slow news week, so it got picked up by the news. So within a week, Russ and Todd were doing radio interviews and television interviews with a nun bun all over the world. It was a news sensation. And so we thought, we got to capitalize on this. What are we going to do? So we started doing t-shirts. There was a bookmark with a bun addiction on it. Slip into your Bible. I know, the puns never stop. There was mugs. We were selling all kinds of things. People were driving in from all over America to see the Mother Teresa cinnamon bun. That's when we started getting hate mail, because people thought we were making fun of Mother Teresa. It was like, no, we're celebrating her. Look, she's on a t-shirt. We like her. So we decided, you know, this is our moment. This is it. We're going to move to L.A. So we packed up the nun bun, and we drove to L.A., taking pictures of us, in, you know, like with the world's largest ball of string, and like, with a nun bun. All the way to L.A., we had it on a shelf in our apartment in the living room. We're trying to, you know, break in to the business. I took it in when I was trying to get an agent. You know, here's me. Here's my it's my resume, my headshot, and the Mother Teresa cinnamon bun. It might be interesting, maybe. And I did get an agent. Todd did as well. Russ got a writing job. So it kind of worked out. Lucky for all of us, I ended up at Disney. Russ ended up as a writer for MTV, and Todd ended up as a series regular on Nashville, bringing it back full circle where we all started. So it was a lucky little pastry for all of us. And Mother Teresa, well, she died a couple of years after the nun bun. And when they were having meetings to decide how she was going to sort of deal with her successor and her charity and all of the nuns in Calcutta, she just was sort of laying out everything. And they said, so what do you want to do about the nun bun? And she looked at her successor and smiled and said, tell those guys to find a pastry that looks like her. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Spark True Stories.
If you love what we do,
please help us spread the word
by leaving us a review on iTunes.
For more true stories
and to see a live event,
head to stories.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.